Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Christ.
Now when Jesus heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew to Galilee. He left Nazareth and made his home in Capernaum by the sea, in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali, so that what had been spoken through the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. Land of Zebulun, land of Naphtali, on the road by the sea across the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. And for those who sat in the region and shadow of death, light had dawned. From that time, Jesus began to proclaim, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." As he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." Immediately they left their nets and followed him. As he went from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, in the boat with their father Zebedee, mending their nets, and he called them. Immediately they left their boat and their father and followed him. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and curing every disease and every sickness among the people. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Please be seated. I bring you greetings from the people of Christ Episcopal Church in Sausalito, California. If you find yourself in San Francisco Bay, come say hi. But today we are going to talk a little bit about Epiphany. You got a little bit of that from Father Clark. But Epiphany reminds us that God doesn't wait for perfect conditions to act. If God did, the church would be closed until further notice. So Isaiah says that the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. And what's striking is that Isaiah doesn't explain how light arrived. There's no buildup, there's no checklist, there's no moment where everything finally gets sorted. Light just simply dawns. And that's exactly how God tends to work. Isaiah also doesn't say the darkness was meaningless. He doesn't deny it or rush it past it. He simply refuses to let it have the last word. And that matters because in Scripture, darkness is rarely the end of the story. More often, it's the beginning. Creation begins in darkness. Exodus begins at night. Resurrection begins in the sealed tomb before dawn. Darkness is not where God gives up. It is often where God is starting to speak. Which means Epiphany isn't about pretending everything is bright and easy. It's about recognizing that light is already present, even if it hasn't reached full moon yet. And not all light looks the same. Years ago, I preached a sermon about light right here in this church. And I had a parishioner who walked up to me and said something that I have not forgotten. Not all light is sunshine. Sometimes it is the moonlight. And they are right. Sunlight is clear and it's bold. It floods everything. It leaves very little room for ambiguity. Moonlight, on the other hand, doesn't erase shadows. It softens them, It teaches you how to move carefully, how to pay attention, how to walk without needing to see the whole path. And moonlight carries this beautiful truth. It is reflected light. It exists because the sun is still there, even when you can't see it directly. Which means shadows don't mean God is absent. Sometimes they mean God is teaching us a very different way of seeing. And that's important because today, when we look at Matthew, Jesus begins his ministry, and it's not at the center of power. It's not at Jerusalem. He goes to Galilee. Galilee is the borderlands. It's mixed places, the places people are often overlooked. Jesus begins not with a strategy. He doesn't begin with a mission statement. He doesn't begin with anything but the sentence, "Repent, for the kingdom of God has come near." Now, repentance isn't about feeling bad. A lot of people love to think repentance is about that. But repent means to reorient, to turn your attention, to shift your expectation, because God is already closer than you think. And then Jesus does something deeply revealing. He calls people, not after they're ready. How many of y'all procrastinate? Hold on, I need a few more minutes. But when they're working and when they're mending their nets, while their lives are still unfinished, and Jesus says, "Follow me." No guarantees, no five-year plan, just an invitation to move. And as they do, something happens. Jesus teaches, Jesus heals, Jesus gathers people back into wholeness. And so light looks like a movement. Paul understands this, how fragile this movement is. Because in his writing to Corinthians, he is not worried about the question of differences. He's worried about fragmentation. He asks the question, has Christ been divided? Not because unity is about being polite, but because a divided body has trouble carrying light very far. Paul isn't asking for sameness. He's asking for orientation. Stay turned toward the same source, even when the reflection looks different from person to person. And this is where I want to kind of bring it to how it hits home here at All Saints. The other day, I saw on Facebook, you can't go this weekend without mentioning, there was a second death in Minneapolis. Well, you know, right here in South Florida, things are going on. I had a friend post on Facebook, she was blowing her whistle because ICE had entered her neighborhood in Oakland Park. Another example, as the administration cancels money and funding, we have starving school children here in Broward County. And I had another friend who wrote a $500 check to Rickards Middle School to ensure that middle schoolers were getting lunch. He doesn't even have kids. So, yes, it's real, but then there's light also that happens even in this church community. A few years ago, I guess I've been gone a little longer than a few years, but when I was here, we had 13 individuals that embarked on a mission trip to Guatemala with me. And so if you don't know, Deacon and Phyllis and I went to seminary together. We're both from the Diocese of California. And my goal was to get this congregation to understand what international ministry could look like. So I didn't know what would happen, except that I wanted to create this mission trip opportunity. And so we had 13 individuals. Well, you know, about a year later, I was gone. I had moved back to California. And what's always interesting from a perspective of someone like me is it's not so much a pride in that I created something. It's pride when you see that light takes hold because something is still going on because I'm not here anymore. Seeing that that's an ongoing ministry of this church. I think y'all, I understand, have bought over 1,000 books for people in Guatemala, which I think is phenomenal. Because what happens in that case is children, kindergarten, first, second grade, They start not doing well in school, and then their parents take them out of school at that very young age, and they go work in the market. And that means there's no more future for them. But by doing little things like giving them books and getting tutoring, these kids have a future. And hopefully that future leads them to something better that doesn't make them want to cross the border because of desperation. So that's what light looks like. Light also looks like Father Carl's going to John Knox Village today. That came from when I helped lead the lay Eucharistic visitor ministry, and I realized, gosh, we're visiting a lot of individual people in John Knox Village. Why wouldn't we just have an Episcopal service there for everyone? And to see that that service is still going on, that there is an Episcopal community in John Knox, that is showing light. There's many, many other ways, and everyone's called to a different way of showing that light in Epiphany. But the real question comes this, and I want you to really think about this. Will we keep walking toward the light when we can only trust that more will be revealed later? Often we don't like going into the unknown. We want to know every little detail that's going to happen. But that's not how ministry happens. It's really, ministry is being able to walk comfortably in the unknown. I think that light is, in ministry, is being able to bear witness. And often we do it because we tend to hide it because we have this fear that people might think differently of us because they think we're going to be out to save their souls. But ministry is not about saving people's souls. It's about working with those people on the fringes, on the marginalized, because that is exactly what the ministry of Jesus was. And one final fact I want to point out today. Since you have two deacons here, it's important. You will notice in the liturgy, when a deacon is present, it is the deacon, not the priest, that will do the dismissal. And the reason for that is you face the back. You face towards the outside. The deacon is always the person that is calling you to ministry outside in the world, and that's why they do the dismissal. It is exactly as Jesus says. Follow me. Amen.